Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good to be back with you. Crazy world we live in, isn't it? But one of the things that I love to do is to find silver linings, places where there are perspectives shared that go against the narrative that we very often hear in the mainstream news media. I'm about to share one of those now because I believe this is very significant. I had a very interesting conversation, by the way, with a former coworker and his brother and father. Among the issues we talked about yesterday, and one of the sons is one who would subscribe to a more views that you would characterize as being progressive. And I look forward to having some future conversations with this young man. But it was interesting to hear something that he said yesterday, and it stays with me today, that I think one of the things that motivates so many younger people, they watch what's going on, and in their minds, they see a world that's out of control. And for that reason, they're willing to roll the dice on some pretty radical things, including the Green New Deal. I just thought you would find that interesting, because it certainly intrigued me that, from my perspective, again, this goes back to the idea that one of the challenges we're facing is so many things are getting uprooted, some of our foundations, mainly our families. And so people are trying to find stability wherever they can find it. And if it means starting all over, if it means doing something entirely new and basically bringing the bulldozer to knock everything down, well, there are people willing to try that. Before we get there, I was quite intrigued by a piece that was just out of the park. I don't know how else to characterize this. This was originally published by Forbes, and I understand this has been removed by Forbes hours later. This is not from a so-called climate denier. In fact, the person who wrote this is a climate activist and energy expert. His name is Michael Schellenberger. In fact, Mr. Schellenberger was declared a Time Magazine Hero of the Environment and Green Book Award winner. Now, he told the Daily Wire in a statement hours after Forbes deactivated the piece, "I'm grateful Forbes has been so committed to publishing a range of viewpoints, including ones that challenge the conventional wisdom, and was thus disappointed. My editors removed my piece from the website. I believe Forbes is an important outlet for broadening environmental journalism beyond the overwhelmingly alarmist approach taken by most reporters, and look forward to contributing pieces on energy and the environment in the future." Now, the word that he uses, and I wanted to dissect this before we go on, he referred to heterodoxical pieces on energy and the environment. What does this mean? This means people are offering differing views. Remember what I said to you some weeks ago about the danger the danger that we face in our country right now of dogma. And much of what we face is the dogma of so-called science. Now, before some people began getting exercised or manifesting, I will tell you, I believe in science. And yet at the same time, this coronavirus situation ought to demonstrate to all of us the limitations of science. We need to be continually reminded, because we're talking about human beings, science is going to be imperfect and, frankly, incomplete. Because the information that we continue to learn, in many cases, it displaces information we thought just days or even hours ago. So it's important that we open our hearts and our minds to different perspectives. For those who become dogmatic and take to belittling people and belittling perspectives of people that they disagree with in this particular area, it's quite refreshing to hear what's coming out of Michael Schellenberger. Because he starts off with an apology. On behalf of environmentalists everywhere, I'd like to formally apologize for the climate scare we created over the last 30 years. Boom. Climate scare. He goes on, climate change is happening. It's just not the end of the world. It's not even our most serious environmental problem. I may seem like a strange person to be saying this. I've been a climate activist for 20 years and an environmentalist for 30. But as an energy expert asked by Congress to provide objective expert testimony and invited by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change to serve as expert reviewer of its next assessment report, I feel an obligation to apologize for how badly we environmentalists have misled the public. And then he goes into some facts. Now, these pretty much blow away so many of the narratives. And how much have we been talking about narratives the past few weeks? Let's start with these narratives. Here are some facts that few people know. Humans are not causing a sixth mass extinction. The Amazon is not the lungs of the world. Climate change is not making natural disasters worse. Fires have declined 25% around the world since 2003. The amount of land we use for meat, humankind's biggest use of land, has declined by an area nearly as large as Alaska. The buildup of wood fuel and more houses near forests, not climate change, explain why there are more and more dangerous fires in Australia and California. Carbon emissions have been declining in rich nations, including Britain, Germany, and France, since the mid-70s. Adapting to life below sea level made the Netherlands rich, not poor. We produce 25% more food than we need, and food surpluses will continue to rise as the world gets hotter. Habitat loss and the direct killing of wild animals are bigger threats to species than climate change. Wood fuel, far worse for people and wildlife than fossil fuels. Preventing future pandemics requires more, not less, industrial agriculture. These are not perspectives that you would likely hear from the climate alarmists. But they have been declared by Michael Schellenberger. And this is just the beginning of where he goes in this powerful piece. We're going to share much more of this. Also, still to come in the broadcast today, I am going to really take this governor, current governor, to task for inactivity. And I'm going to tell you how it's affecting this household. That much more is
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So we're sharing an opinion piece by Michael Schellenberger, who's an energy expert and climate activist, who's pretty much blown up all these narratives we've been hearing for years out of the left. He goes on. I know the above facts will sound like climate denialism to many people, but that just shows the power of climate alarmism. In reality, the above facts come from the best available scientific studies, including those conducted by or accepted by the IPCC, the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, and other leading scientific bodies. Some people will, when they read this, imagine I'm some right-wing anti-environmentalist. I'm not. At 17, I lived in Nicaragua to show solidarity with the Sandinista Socialist Revolution. At 23, I raised money for Guatemalan women's cooperatives. In my early 20s, I lived in the semi-Amazon doing research with small farmers fighting land invasions. At 26, I helped expose poor conditions at Nike factories in Asia. I became an environmentalist at 16 when I threw a fundraiser for Rainforest Action Network. At 27, I helped to save the last unprotected ancient redwoods in California. In my 30s, I advocated renewables and successfully helped to persuade the Obama administration to invest $90 billion into them. Over the last few years, I helped to save enough nuclear plants from being replaced by fossil fuels to prevent a sharp increase in emissions until last year. I mostly avoided speaking out against the climate scare. Partly, that's because I was embarrassed. After all, I'm as guilty of alarmism as any other environmentalist. For years, I referred to climate change as an existential threat to human civilization and called it a crisis. But mostly, I was scared. I remained quiet about the climate disinformation campaign because I was afraid of losing friends and funding. The few times that I summoned the courage to defend climate science from those who misrepresent it, I suffered harsh consequences, so I mostly stood by, did next to nothing, as my fellow environmentalists terrified the public. I even stood by as people in the White House and many in the news media tried to destroy the reputation and career of an outstanding scientist, good man, and friend of mine. a lifelong progressive Democrat and environmentalist who testified in favor of carbon regulations. Why did they do that? Because his research proves natural disasters are not getting worse. But then last year, things spiraled out of control. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. Britain's most high-profile environmentalist group claimed climate change kills children. The world's most influential green journalist, Bill McKibben, called climate change the greatest challenge humans have ever faced and said it would wipe out civilizations. Mainstream journalists reported repeatedly the Amazon was the lungs of the world and that deforestation was like a nuclear bomb going off. As a result, half the people surveyed around the world last year said they thought climate change would make humanity extinct. In January, one of five British children told pollsters they were having nightmares about climate change. I wonder why. Whether or not you have children, you must see how wrong this is. I admit I may be sensitive because I have a teenage daughter. After we talked about the science, she was reassured. But her friends are deeply misinformed and thus understandably frightened. I thus decided I had to speak out. I knew writing a few articles wouldn't be enough. I needed a book to properly lay out all the evidence. And so my formal apology for our fear-mongering comes in the form of my new book, Apocalypse Never, Why Environmental Alarmism Hurts Us All. This is based on 2 decades of research, 3 decades of environmental activism, at 400 pages, 100 of them in notes. Apocalypse Never covers climate change, deforestation, plastic waste, species extinction, industrialization, meat, nuclear energy, and renewables. And he goes on to talk about some of the highlights from this book. Are they ready for this? I have my doubts. Factories and modern farming are the keys to human liberation and environmental progress. Factories? The most important thing for saving the environment, producing more food, especially meat, on less land. The most important thing for reducing air pollution and carbon emissions, moving from wood to coal, to petroleum, to natural gas, to uranium. 100% renewables would require increasing the land used for energy from just 0.5% today to 50%. We should want cities, farms, and power plants to have higher, not lower, power densities. Vegetarianism reduces one's emissions by less than 4%. Pretty minuscule, don't you think? 4%. Greenpeace didn't save the whales. Switching from whale oil to petroleum and palm oil did. Free-range beef would require 20 times more land and produce 300% more emissions. Greenpeace dogmatism worsened forest defragmentation of the Amazon. The colonialist approach to guerrilla conservation in the Congo produced a backlash that may have resulted in the killing of 250 elephants. Why were we all so misled? Well, I think you know the answer to that question. In the final 3 chapters of Apocalypse Never, I expose the financial, political, and ideological motivations. Environmental groups have accepted hundreds of millions of dollars from fossil fuel interests. Groups motivated by anti-humanist beliefs forced the World Bank to stop trying to end poverty and instead make poverty sustainable. And status, anxiety, depression, and hostility to modern civilization are behind much of the alarmism. Once you realize just how badly misinformed we've been, often by people with plainly unsavory or unhealthy motivations, well, it's going to be hard not to be very upset about this. Downright duped. He goes on to explain how badly misinformed we've been, and questions whether his book is even going to make a difference. The news media, they've been making apocalyptic pronouncements about climate change since the late 1980s, and there's no inclination they're going to stop. The ideology behind environmental alarmism has been repeatedly debunked for 200 years, and yet it's more powerful than ever. But he says there are some reasons to believe environmental alarmism will, if not come to an end, have diminishing cultural power. The coronavirus pandemic is an actual crisis that puts the climate crisis into perspective. Even if you think we've overreacted, COVID-19 has killed nearly a half billion people and shattered economies around the globe. Scientific institutions, including WHO, have undermined their credibility through the repeated politicization of science. Isn't this what I've been warning you about for some time? Their future existence and relevance depends on new leadership and serious reform. Question is that going to happen? This is a book I'm definitely going to read. And it's going to be out very soon. By the way, coming up, we're going to talk about what's happening, more like what's not happening here in the state of North Carolina. We'll talk about it coming up.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
For those of you interested in the article that I shared with you, it's a column that's written by Michael Schellenberger. On behalf of environmentalists, I apologize for this climate scare. It is now available on the Facebook pages for 106.3 WRD and News Talk 1110 WBT. So read it, share it, do whatever you want with it. And ideally, it's probably a good idea to read this book. Looks like it's going to provide a lot of good ammunition. In fact, by the way, the release date is today. It's called Apocalypse Never, Why Environmental Alarmism Hurts Us All. Again, that book coming out today. I want to get into a little bit of a personal issue. I have a son who, well, let me put it this way. I'm eager for him to drive. He's not so excited about driving himself, to be honest with you. But by the time he got to the point where he got the hours necessary in order to pursue his license, well, they're at a place now with the DMV where they're not doing the driver's tests, the road tests. And they're not doing these because of the coronavirus. In one sense, you know, since March, it is understandable. Now, the legislature has attempted to remedy this, but at this point, there's legislation that still has not been signed by our governor. The reason for that, who knows? I do not know the reason behind that. We're going to talk about that just a bit, but I've got to take this call here. I want to go quickly to Clyde out of Matthews. Good morning, Clyde. We'll give you about a minute here.
Thanks, Vince. Appreciate it. My wife and I love your program. Two roofs of quick things. I bought the book Taboo. It is a must-read for both any race. I really mean that, as you know that. And I have a question about the author. Is he a professor at Kentucky State? Is that a predominantly African-American school?
Yes, it is.
I bet he's a popular teacher on that.
You know, it would be kind of interesting. The interesting thing is we have not talked extensively about that, but we'll delve into that the next time he's on this program, the kind of reception he gets on campus.
Vince, it's an eye-opener, and as you know, and you, I got it about a week ago, and it's been about 3 weeks, but it's truly an eye-opener for both black, white, Hispanic, whatever you want to look at, okay? And the second thing, real quick, is I really believe in the United States of America, we are leaderless from top to bottom in government right now.
Yep.
I can't believe, and I don't say this badly against the president, Congress, states, and local governments are absolutely useless to the people of the United States right now. I hate saying it.
I wish I could argue against what you've just said, Clyde, but this is a point that I've been making for quite some time. And especially when you read a book like this and you see what the real issues are and see how so many of us have been the subject of spin for so long, it helps you to understand that we're not beginning to even touch the surface of the real issues that affect us all. So I wanted to quickly get to your call, Clyde. Thanks a lot for calling, and thank you. Thank you so much for responding and reading the book that you mentioned, Taboo. I would strongly encourage you to check it out. I started off talking about the issue with my son, who's not able to get his license. Here we are. We're in June now. Now, one of the reasons why I reached out to Carl Ford, who is a state senator here in North Carolina, is because I was aware of the fact he was involved in legislation addressing this particular issue to allow at least these young people getting their licenses for the first time to get their licenses and take the driving test later on. But that's held up now. Joining us to talk about this and other things that are not happening because of the executive branch in the state is Carl Ford. Good morning. Welcome back to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you, Vince.
Well, let's first talk about this driver's license issue. I understand the concern about the safety of the people at the DMV. You have advanced some legislation on this particular issue. What was it designed to do?
Well, we had heard that, you know, the road test, many teens need to get their license with not going to be scheduled. So we passed a bill that would waive the road test, at least temporarily, those that are under the age of 18, and they could get their level 2 provisional license, you know, as long as they met the other requirements. And it's passed, and it passed with bipartisan support, and the governor just letting it lie on his desk, I guess. So,
how long ago did this pass, by the way?
That happened, the last version of it happened this past week. The days ran together either Wednesday or Thursday, and we were also working on the driver's permit section too, because they were having some of the problems too, closely related. But yeah, I don't know if and when it'll be signed.
Okay. And in our recent conversation as well, Senator Ford, you discussed the fact that there are a number of other pieces of legislation that have simply not been signed. What kinds of other things are we missing that need to get advanced here and just need a signature?
Well, the big one is, I'm almost positive he won't sign this one. He'll probably hit it with the veto stamp, is Senate Bill 105, clarifying emergency powers. And it requires the governor to seek concurrence of the Council of State prior to exercising certain authorities. Now, he can still say we're in a state of emergency, but not what he's doing now 3 months in. This bill would require not only going to the Council of State for a recorded vote that's public record, but it would also say after 30 days, you have to take another vote, and you have to get the concurrence of the state legislature, because that's definitely not happening now. He went to the Council of State the first time, and they agreed. Everybody agreed then at the first 2 weeks of closing, but after that, he wasn't getting from the Council of State what he wanted, so he just went around the law and did what he wanted to do. So that's one of the big ones. Yeah.
So what's going on? And I find hard to understand what this governor is actually doing. What is he doing?
Well, I can give you my opinion, and some people that laughed at my opinion are now on the side of my opinion. I think all these problems will clear up November 3rd, one way or the other. I would like to put a moving van out in front of the mansion on November 4th. Is what I would like to do to help him go home. But I mean, you know, we've got open exercise and fitness facilities, amusement parks. All these people are dying, and they're closed, and we don't know if they'll be able to reopen. I mean, restaurants are at 50%, but most of them have told us 50% is losing a lot of money. So we passed all these bills, and he sent them back, so we changed them. He gave his direction that I can't do this because it doesn't give me the power to go back and shut them down. So we gave him exactly what he asked for, and he still hadn't signed them.
Still hasn't signed them. Yeah, we've got to go to a hard break here. Can you hold on with us, Senator Ford?
Sir. Yes.
Carl Ford, we're talking about the inaction of the executive branch, as in the governor, and we'll continue this discussion after the break. Stay with us.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
He gives, and he takes away. He takes away, and he gives. Who are we talking about here? Chief Justice John Roberts. And we have a new Supreme Court case to tell you about here. The court has now ruled Montana's exclusion of religious schools from a state scholarship program funded by tax credits violates the U.S. Constitution. In this case, Justice Roberts has joined the court's other conservatives in a victory for parents who wanted to use the state tax credit to help send children to religious schools. This decision, a victory for conservative religious groups and advocates of school choice who have challenged Montana's no aid provision in the state constitution. So this is a good development. We have bad Roberts and we have good Roberts. So it's good this particular case has turned out well. I want to quickly get back to our conversation with State Senator Carl Ford. And just in the short time we have here, what would you encourage people to do? How do we light a fire under Governor Roy Cooper's rear end to get this man to do his job? How do we do that? Or is it possible?
The only thing I think is going to light a fire under him is when he gets fired on November 3rd. Other than that, somebody's feeding him all kinds of data as far as his popularity and the way he's handling the virus. His numbers went as high as 70%. Now, they're nowhere near that now, but they're still fairly high in the 50-52% range. So I think even a lot of people that were with him at first are going, no, not now. So all I can tell you to do is continue to call and email his office and The legislature is staying in session at least through the end of next week and definitely coming back, going back in September. So in the meantime, it's there's not a lot that can be done. And because the courts in North Carolina will be on our side, and besides that, they're not even meeting right now at his direction. So they're literally not holding court.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is pretty unfortunate. Well, I think it is important at least for people to be aware of what is happening and, frankly, what is not happening. And you've described one of the larger issues going on in the fact that so much of the state has been shut down. And, frankly, people are suffering. And there's been a lot of inaction or, frankly, a lot of action out of the governor's office to keep people from going about making a living, which is not a lot to ask, is it, Carl Ford?
That's right. I mean, people are just telling us, look, we don't want a government handout. I had several business owners. We don't need a check. We don't need – just let us reopen our business. And that's all they're asking for, not a handout, but just let us go back to work. And I have two medical professionals this week tell me, even one that was adamant against reopening, now she says we need to reopen to build the immunity. People are going to get sick. They're going to get the virus. But over 99% are going to survive. So far, they have in the state. She said the coronavirus, you could test positive for coronavirus, and it be the common cold. So there are a lot of coronaviruses. So she's right. Need to get back to work, get back to normal before people lose a lot of things, which is already happening.
I certainly hear you. Carl Ford, we appreciate your hard work there in Raleigh and hope and pray that there'll be some resolution to this for so many people out there who are just trying to keep things together. Good to talk to you, sir. We'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I would encourage you, think about this in the context of what is going on this November in elections. I mean, because there's no question in my mind. Have politicians created this crisis? No. Have they exploited this crisis? Absolutely. There's no question about this. And I would raise this question. Why the heck are you ordering people to wear masks? Why are you ordering people to wear masks? And they still can't work. If you're going to order them to wear masks, why don't you allow all these businesses to open up as long as they wear masks? That would seem to be a sensible solution to all of this. Let's go out to Joe in York. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Vince. A lot of great subjects. As far as what's going on in North Carolina, he has done nothing about pollution. Like the Neuse River is a waste water from hog farming. You can't live within 5 miles of it without seeing the smell. It's been going on for decades. He doesn't give a damn about North Carolina citizens, as far as I'm concerned. One other thing that the state does, and I don't know if they still do it, is transformer fluid is causes cancer. It's a silicone. And North Carolina was using it to hold down dust on roads. So guess what happened when it rains? The silicone ends up in the river, gets into the fish. So they have signs along the river to protect you from cancer saying, don't eat more than one fish a month from this river. Isn't that wonderful?
Goodness. Yeah, just wonderful. And these are the environmental experts, those who are so concerned about protecting our environment, and I'm sure have run on these issues, Joe. Boy, that shows such fidelity to this particular issue. By the way, my friend Daniel has already sent me a text just a few minutes ago. I just bought Apocalypse Never. I need to start getting some kickbacks from this. I'm kidding, people. Let's go on to a quick call here from Tim. Tim, you got less than 30 seconds here.
Vince, I'm with you as far as that whole driver's license thing. I remember that my daughter's going through that. They're basically just going to wave her on through. I remember my driver's license test. The guy was missing part of his middle finger, and he used to jam his hand into my neck and say, what are you sweating there for, sonny? And I'd be like, well, It's 90 degrees and you don't have any AC in your car.
That'll do it every time, Tim. Hey, appreciate your call. Coming up, a powerful message, a short one, but it packs a punch. Stay with us.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.